You're listening to The Bulletin with UBS, first broadcast on the 29th of November 2015 on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week in Florida, the latest edition of Art Basel Miami Beach gets underway. On The Bulletin with UBS, we're previewing the event and looking at its evolution since its 2002 debut. We'll be taking the temperature of the art market, considering the role of macroeconomics, and asking a few experts and editors from UBS and the wider art world what exactly they're most excited about ahead of this year's event. We start with Robert Bound, Monocle's culture editor, who looks back over the history of Art Basel Miami Beach and describes how it has become such a fixture in the global art calendar, despite some initial scepticism about its location.
Well, Art Basel Miami Beach was an interesting one. When it launched over a decade ago, I think a lot of people kind of thought it was, were surprised that it was in Miami. I mean, New York is famously an art center. People, there's money in Los Angeles, famously. But what on earth were people doing in Miami, the home of, you know, of faded Art Deco hotels, you know, muscle beaches, and sort of, you know, what you might call some kind of dubious taste. Miami Vice kind of like permeates the kind of scene there in sort of many ways. So people kind of were sort of surprised and, you know, eyebrows were raised when this most sort of august, quite conservative and avant-garde, we should say, Swiss art fair, which has turned into a behemoth, sort of unfurled its wings on South Beach in Miami. But at the end of the day, you know, it was a financial decision made by the powers that be that Art Basel that suited them very well. Now, 10 years into the art fair, there are fantastic curatorial things that go on around it. The market's exceptionally strong, and it's got this reputation as being the best Latin American art capital. Forget Bogota, forget São Paulo. You know, the best place maybe to buy art still is in Miami, which is, of course, geography watches in North America.
Ossian Ward, head of content at the Listen Gallery, gives us his take on the exciting evolution of Art Basel Miami Beach.
I've been going to Miami Basel for many years. I remember the first abortive year when it didn't really kind of get going. And I think everyone thought that it wasn't going to be a serious fair or that you couldn't possibly do a serious art fair in Miami. But it's proven everyone wrong, partly because of the weight of collectors who live there and whose exhibitions and whose institutions surround Miami Beach, and they open their doors to their homes for people to visit during that time. And the museums have also kind of upped their game, and there's a new museum, the Perez Art Museum, opened recently. So the kind of intensity of the intellectual idea that Miami couldn't host an art fair has been sort of overridden by, you know, the sheer weight of all the other things that go on during that week. So you have many other art fairs, and you have other things to do beyond the convention center, and of course the legendary parties, which is certainly a draw. But yeah, it's certainly changed people's opinions of what could have been a very strange venue for an art fair.
Peter Dillon heads the UBS Art Platform. This is the 21st anniversary of the bank's association with Art Basel globally. What does that mean for UBS? According to Peter, it's all about collecting.
Art Basel clearly has established itself as the premier platform in the world for collecting modern and contemporary art. And as a starting place for UBS, we're collectors also. We have a very large corporate collection of contemporary artworks that are on view in all of our offices around the world. And we're actively collecting art at the art fairs, directly from galleries and at fairs. And it's a chance for us to meet with our clients and engage with our clients who are also collectors and share that passion with them. And we have a huge number of activities that take place during the art fair that really allows us to show the depth and the breadth of what we do in the art world.
Let's hear next from Mary Roselle, the new global curator for the UBS Art Collection. Before talking about the next week in Miami, how does she describe the purpose of the UBS collection?
The primary purpose of the UBS Art Collection is to have art in our offices. We have over 800 offices worldwide. So the primary purpose of the collection is to fill the spaces in those offices and benefit both the people that work there for UBS and our clients.
And what then is its role in a wider context?
We see the collection as a platform for conversation, primarily. It's also, you know, it's a source of inspiration. You know, we have our office lives, but it really makes a difference if you have works of art surrounding you. Also, we have, you know, a lot of clients that are interested in art. So this is something that connects us to our clients, takes us away from, you know, the sphere of of banking and money and lets us expand the conversation to really develop and deepen relationships.
Mary Rozelle there. Later in the show, we'll hear what our experts find most exciting ahead of this year's edition. But next up, we're getting a primer in macroeconomics and art. Mike Ryan is Chief Investment Strategist for UBS Wealth Management Americas. What kind of macro data and analysis does he use to make sense of the art market? As he explains, it's not about reading the market per se, but identifying a number of macro drivers that could have an impact.
Well, we don't focus primarily on the art market, but we recognize, of course, is that some of the same things that we have to look at from an investment perspective in terms of traditional assets will also influence what's happening in the art market, but perhaps with a twist. So, for example, when we look at the macro drivers, there are lots of things we will look at. We will look at things like industrial production. We'll look at consumer sentiment. We'll focus a lot on what's happening in the employment markets. It's a little bit different, though, in the art market, because what you're going to focus on then is largely the kinds of macro variables that skew to the ultra-high net worth and high net worth individuals. So, for example, some of the most important macro drivers that we would see affecting the art market right now are, first of all, the level of wealth recovery. If you think about what's happening in terms of the rebound in financial assets and the recovery in real estate prices, given the fact that many of the wealthiest around the world have heavy concentrations of their wealth in those two areas, I think that's one thing that's important in terms of driving demand for art is when you have accumulations of wealth, especially in the ultra-high net worth.
According to Mike Ryan, the second macro driver is what's currently happening in China.
While China is going through a growth transition, we still have China now as the second leading country in terms of minting billionaires. Now, obviously, the growing affluence of China and also the shift now in emphasis away from sort of the traditional state-owned enterprises towards one that's emphasizing more of domestic consumption and small business ownership, this could also have an impact on driving the demand for art as you see the composition of the wealth in China changing.
For Mike, what's happening in the energy markets is also important.
Now, keep in mind that one of the areas that has been home to many of the newly minted billionaires over the course of the last, say, decade has been Russia. It has largely been about the ability to leverage with the changes in the energy industry and the demand for energy. But obviously, as energy prices struggle, as we've seen a reduction in commodity prices, this is certainly having an effect on the demand for all sorts of goods and services, and especially those that we would presume to be the primary curators of art. And then lastly, one thing we also look at, which is perhaps not a macro variable, but certainly has an impact on the art market, is the entrepreneurial cycle. That is, newly minted entrepreneurs, especially in the tech area, often when they've built their wealth and basically have built their businesses, often what they'll look for is the accumulation of certain types of things, whether it could be homes, whether it could be property, whether it's art, that basically allow them then to make that transition from being the early stage entrepreneurs and living their lives a bit differently.
Mike Ryan on some of the macro factors shaping the art world and investment. Next, we hear from Peter Dillon, who talks us through Planet Art, which launched at last year's edition of the show. Peter reminds us what this offers and how it works.
Planet Art is the first of its kind news aggregator for the art world. The app is a machine learning algorithm, so it's not run by editors or a team of curators. It's purely algorithmic, and it essentially looks across this incredibly fragmented landscape of the art media. Right now, we have 69 different sources from around the world of blogs, mainstream newspapers, art magazines. The algorithm reads all the information in those sources, organizes it into a very clean and simple way, and then analyzes that data so that you see a simplified view of the art news. I think we can all understand that it's a very complicated art world with lots of opportunities and exciting things. But Planet Art helps people have a very simple view in one place to save time or at least give you an idea of where to start in the art world.
So Planet Art helps you get started in the art world. Mary Rozelle, though, in her role as curator at UBS, must have some grander strategies for making acquisitions and adding to the collection.
That's a great question. You know, I just started working at UBS about 2 months ago, and I have noticed that when I enter an art fair, I'm looking for different things now. You're always looking for quality. You're always looking for good value. But we are, corporate collections, at least ours, is somewhat limited in subject matter. We, you know, you don't put nudity on the walls. We don't want to get too political. We don't want to cause offense to any of our employees or any of our clients. So that narrows things down somewhat. We do look for works that have visual appeal, can hold the wall space, but at the same time, we always want to have, you know, something, a strong concept behind the artwork. We're not just decorating offices. We really are inviting people to think and to share a dialogue. So we do look for artwork with interesting concepts.
Let's get something of a bigger picture now of the art market. We often see high-profile works setting auction records, but does that tell the whole story, or should we look elsewhere? Here's Monocle's Robert Bound again.
Yeah, I mean, these big figures are always realised at auctions. It's always mostly the big two, you know, auction houses. It's in New York and London. A lot of work is done. A lot of sales are made at the art fairs, whether it's, you know, whichever one it is. But especially, you know, in Miami, some big figures are made and some, you know, big important canvases. It's very bright canvases as well, kind of change hands. It's the figures, it's around the $10,000 mark that is the interesting part of the art world, which is where a lot of the work is done. And it is glamorous and it is a lot of money and it is exciting to buy and be bought if you're an artist at that price range. But these don't make, you know, the front page of the New York Times. It doesn't make the front page of the Telegraph here in the UK. But this is the kind of, this is the meat and potatoes stuff. If you can describe $10,000 as the meat and potatoes stuff of the art market, a lot of wonderful work is sold at that price. And that, frankly, is most of the work at places like Art Basel Miami.
That's Rob's take on some of the business at Art Basel. How would Mary Rozelle sum up the fair as a platform for buying and collecting?
Well, Art Basel is considered to be the premium platform for collecting. It's something that people in the art world don't want to miss, and now we have three Basels that we attend and that we as a bank support. So it's really a great privilege to be the main sponsor of these fairs, and it's certainly a wonderful place to connect with our clients and the artists that we collect.
UBS's association with this fair is very well established and must provide some exciting opportunities. Here's Mike Ryan to explain why it's a unique forum.
It's an opportunity for us to meet some of the most interesting people from around the world, because one of the things Art Basel does is it attracts people from many different walks of life. So they may have built their wealth, have accumulated their wealth in different ways, but what they have in common is an appreciation for the arts, especially contemporary art. So what it does is it gives us a broad profile of individuals who come in. The other thing that we have to always be careful of and be respectful of is that there are no two individuals who are alike, so that while they may have an interest in art, their interest in the arts may be very different. As you said before, some may be interested more in as an investor. They may look at it as a way of building or storing wealth. Others may look at it simply as something that they personally have an interest in. It's a personal passion. So we recognize, of course, that each of them approach the art market a bit differently. So what we really love to do is, when we have the opportunity to engage with them, is understanding the things that are important in their lives, help to understand how we can help them in terms of achieving the things they want to achieve. So we look at Art Basel as an opportunity for us to connect with people, and basically people who have a common passion around the arts.
To end the show, we're flagging up some potential highlights to look out for in the coming days. Peter Dillon's focus is on the always much anticipated display of works from the UBS collection, as well as some other exciting projects.
One of the main features this year and every year at the various Art Basel shows is a display of the UBS art collection, where we have a team of curators based in New York and London who have developed a unique concept for the UBS private lounge at the art fair that is always a highlight, where we get a chance to show some of our best artwork. This year, for the first time ever, we will have a public lounge during Art Basel in Miami Beach that will highlight the first year of Planet Art, which is a very unique art news aggregator we've created. And we're also debuting or launching a new film series that we have collaborated with the Swiss Institute, based in New York, to show artist films, but from the artist's point of view.
And what's Robert Bound expecting this year?
I think the expectations are that, I mean, the market will be strong. A lot of South American, you know, collectors come up. A lot of South American art fairs, of which there are going to be more in 2016, are actually sort of unveiling their plans at Art Basel Miami Beach in 2015, which is kind of an interesting thing to watch. Maybe the most interesting new thing is the sort of rebirth of the Perez Art Museum, called PAMM, called PAM. The new director, Franklin Sermons, is kind of a big cheese in the art world. It's a big signing for them. He's cut his teeth in the art world in New York City, and now he's moved down to Florida to kind of work his magic there. I think that's a big signing for them, and I think, you know, it's another factor that means Miami means business in the art world.
The last word goes to Mary Rozelle on some recent exciting acquisitions to look out for in the UBS collection.
We made quite a significant acquisition since that time. We bought a light box by the LA artist Doug Aiken called Native Land. And this is one of the artist's classic light boxes that combine text with imagery. And so this is, it says Native Land, but there's actual photographs of billboards, mostly taken from the American West. We're going to be showcasing that piece in Miami. We've also just acquired sets of works on paper, premium prints by Frank Stella and Saul LeWitt. We have one of our Frank Stella sculptures is included in the Whitney retrospective of his career that's going on right now.
And that's Mary Rozelle bringing us to the end of this 60th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes or SoundCloud. And follow coverage of Art Basel Miami Beach across Monocle 24 all week. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.